Let us now begin this day in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated as we continue with our scripture.
The Old Testament reading this morning comes from Jeremiah, chapter 33, beginning at verse 14. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will fulfill the promise I made to the house of Israel and the house of Judah. In those days, and at that time, I will cause a righteous branch to spring up for David, and he shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will dwell secure. And this is the name by which it will be called: the Lord is our righteousness. Our epistle reading comes from 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, beginning with verse 9. What thanksgiving can we return to God for you, for all the joy that we feel for your sake before our God, as we pray most earnestly, night and day, that we may see face to face and supply what is lacking. Faith. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus direct our way to you, and may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all as we do for you, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints. Please stand for the reading of the gospel.
Our gospel lesson for the first Sunday in Advent focuses on the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ to be our Savior, riding on a lowly donkey into Jerusalem to sacrifice his life for each one of us. Well, the gospel is found in the book of St. Luke, chapter 19. When he had said these things, he went on ahead going up to Jerusalem. When he drew near to Bethpage and Bethany at the mount that is called Olivet, he sent two of the disciples, saying, "Go into the village in front of you, where on entering it you will find a colt tied on which no one has ever yet sat. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' you shall say this: 'The Lord has need of it.' So those who were sent went away and found it just as he had told them. And as they were untying the colt, its owner said to them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' And they said, 'The Lord has need of it.' And they brought it to Jesus, and throwing their cloak on the colt, they set Jesus on it. And as he rode along, they spread their cloaks on the road. As he was drawing near, already on the way down the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of his disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest.' And some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, 'Teacher, rebuke your disciples.' And Jesus answered, 'I tell you, if these were silent, the very stones would cry out.'" This is the gospel of the Lord. You may be seated as we hear a message for the children. Children, please come forward.
You said Christmas, you're right. We're starting Advent right now. Actually, Advent is the season in which we look forward to Christmas. So, during Advent, I remember when I was a kid, which wasn't as long ago as you think. When Advent started, I was like, oh, it's almost time for Christmas, right? It's almost time for presents, and I look forward to that. And really, it is a time of looking forward to something. We're looking forward to the coming of Christ, and we're waiting for that, and we're preparing for that coming of Christ. And in the Old Testament, long, long time ago, people were waiting for Christ also. They waited thousands of years for Jesus to come. Now, God promised, through all his prophets, he promised them that Christ would come. They waited and waited and waited, and finally he did come, and that's what we celebrate on Christmas, right? Well, he came, and he died for our sins, and he rose again, and he ascended into heaven. But before he ascended into heaven, he promised that he would come back and take us with him to live with him forever, which is awesome, right? To live with him forever in heaven. And so during this season, during Advent, when we look forward to Christ's first coming when he was born, we remember that God kept his promise. We remember that God kept his promise to send Christ to us as a baby and to be our Savior. And so we can have faith that he will keep his promise to us to come again on the last day. And that's a really awesome thing, to know that God keeps his promises and that he will keep that final promise to come back one more time. So please join me in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this season of Lent. Thank you for sending your Son to come to earth and die for us, die for our sins. I pray that you would bless this season as we prepare to celebrate your birth, but also as we look forward to your second coming. And please remind us that you always keep your promises, and that we know that you will see you again. It's your name. Thank you.
grace and peace be with you from God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I love this particular Sunday. This is one of my favorite Sundays in the church. For those of you that were able to stay last week and help us to decorate the church, first of all, thank you so much. We appreciate all of the help that you gave to us. But this is the first time you've seen it. Right? All done, all completed, all lit up, all ready to go. This is the first time you've seen it. For those of you that were busy or had other things going, I know how life can be. It happens and we're not able to help us. For you, today marks a wild change. When you left, there was no greenery, no greens, nothing like that, and the pyramids were green, in fact. But yet you walk in today, and everything's changed. We got green everywhere. We have a different candle. We got our Advent candle. We got Christmas trees lit up. And even the pyramids are changed to blue. For a bunch of people, us good old Lutherans that hate change, we have just undergone a lot of change very, very quickly. And it's fantastic. It's fantastic. And you even see a change in some of the music. You know, we went from that really hard, eschatological, you know, Christ is coming, to Advent. And yes, every now and again we'll sneak in, get this, Christmas. Yeah. We had some drastic change, and it's all done in preparation. We're all working to prepare. It is the season of Advent. As we look at our gospel lesson today, I see that preparing going on. And in fact, I see more than just preparing in our text. I actually like to break the text down into three specific areas. The first part is probably the most obvious, preparation. Right? The triumphal entry of Jesus doesn't just happen. They prepare for it. They go to the town. But then even more specifically, two things actually happen in preparation. One is the disciples are sent. They have a mission to do. Now, not all the disciples, just two of them. But they're sent on a mission. They are to go. Now, if the disciples were just sent but never went anywhere, that'd be a problem. So the disciples actually do. They go. They go. They find it exactly the way Jesus said. Jesus said, hey, you're going to go find this cult exactly, and here's what you're going to say when they ask you a question, and what happens? They go into town, they find it exactly the way Jesus said. To the point where even when the person asks the question, they know how to respond. They know. And that's the first part. Preparation. They are preparing for the triumphant entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. The second part, celebration. Whenever Jesus is going down into Jerusalem, there is such rejoicing. There is such joy. There is such celebration. Jesus has come. What a great, great thing. Now, a couple points on this as well. First off, they misunderstood Jesus. But here's the fun part. Their words are correct. Their words are right, but they misunderstood them. You see, they were hoping that Jesus was a king to take over the place in Jerusalem and to throw out the Romans. And so they say, yay, the king is coming. And certainly the king was coming. But he was the king of kings and the Lord of lords. And his throne was not in Jerusalem, but was sitting at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. A king certainly was coming. They say, a Messiah is coming. They were waiting for the Messiah, the one who was to give a reign of peace, the one that was supposed to, again, in their eyes, take over the throne. The Messiah certainly did come. The one who went to the cross, who was lifted up and died for them, for their sake, for their salvation. So their words were correct, even though they were misunderstanding what they were saying. But they were celebrating all the same. And what a celebration it was. And then you get the third part of that. And quite frankly, I at first didn't know what to even make of the third part. Because it's in there. Some people call it a rebuke. Some people call it a denunciation. But truth be told is it wasn't either one of those things. In my eyes, it was an exchange, like a discussion. The Pharisees, they want Jesus to tell his disciples to stop it. Now, they have two reasons for doing this. One of them is the most obvious one, right? We know how Jesus has interacted with the Pharisees. We know what the Pharisees thought of Jesus. They really didn't like it, and they didn't like what was going on as these people were rejoicing as Jesus was coming into town. That's probably the most obvious one. The other one's a little less obvious. It's a little bit more political. They didn't want him to do it probably because, well, the people were talking about kings and messiahs. And remember, they're still in Rome. And Rome doesn't usually take kindly to people saying that they're the new king. The Pharisees, they already had Roman occupation. Rome was already in control, but Rome kind of just ignored Jerusalem for the most part. They didn't want the statements of these people and what was going on here to cause more attention to fall on Jerusalem. It's not that they were doing anything necessarily that the Romans would disagree with or didn't like. It was more the fact that they liked their own ability to be in control. They didn't want somebody coming in and taking control over the temple and over Jerusalem whenever they felt they had it. And so you have this exchange between the Pharisees and with Jesus. And so those are kind of the three parts that I see as we break down in this text. And you know, we're kind of in the middle right now in the preparation. We're preparing. We're getting ready. We're getting all these things set up and prepared. And you know, just like in the time of Christ, just like in our text, we also have a mission. Now, it's not to go get a cult, but that Great Commission is not just for back then. It's also for today. Our Lord and Savior has told us to go out and make disciples of all nations. We are still called to this day to go out, to spread the word of God, to proclaim Jesus to the world. That's still our mission. That's still what we are to do. And we can't just be sent. We actually have to go. Maybe to our neighbors. Maybe to our friends at work. Maybe to elsewhere. We are still called to go out, to proclaim this message. But we're also called to gather around His holy word. We're also called to be a people of prayer. A people that gathers around His holy word. That gathers around the sacrament of Christ's true body and blood and baptism. We are called to be His people. So we're still in that state of preparation. But we're looking forward to a time of celebration. We're looking forward to the time when our Lord and Savior will return, coming with Him, with the clouds, to gather us to be with Him for all of eternity. We get just a glimpse, just a glimmer of that joy when we celebrate Christmas. When we remember that our Lord and Savior did in fact come all those years ago for us and for our salvation. We get a little glimmer of that joy that we will experience when we see our Lord and Savior coming with the clouds. And you know, in terms of that exchange, I don't know how that really would fit. Because when our Lord and Savior comes, it's not going to be a real exchange of words. It's going to be our Lord and Savior telling us to come be with Him for eternity. Not going to be real exchange there. It's more like our Lord and Savior telling us that salvation is ours through Him, through Christ. So as we get going this time of year, this Advent season, we start unpacking and hanging up the garland and trying to untangle those lights that we know worked last year, but you know, for some reason, one bulb goes out. You know how it is. As we start doing all of that, just remember what we're preparing for. Yeah, we're preparing for Christmas. We're preparing for that little glimpse of the joy. Really, we're preparing for so much more. We are preparing for the Son of God to descend with the clouds and to take us to be with Him for all of eternity. What a great thing. What a great joy. What a great celebration. And that joy, and that Savior, and that Lord Jesus Christ, and give me the power and the glory forever. And now may the peace of Christ, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Would you please stand and pray with me as we confess all of our sins to God our Father. Let us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, now, Lord, as we take a moment of silence to confess our sins before you, our Heavenly Father. Hear us, O Lord, for Jesus' sake, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all of your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us now continue by confessing our common faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again. Thank you.
please stand as we bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, this first Sunday in Advent reminds us to prepare for the celebration of your Son's birth and of his second coming on the clouds of glory. Awaken our hearts from indifference, fire up our faith for your return, and give us your Holy Spirit to be about the mission of the church, reaching out to those in any need of body or soul. May the words of Pastor Chris this morning help us to bear fruit in our hearts and lives as we await the second coming of your Son, our Savior. Almighty God, we enjoy the many and rich blessings you have showered upon our nation. Help our leaders to be wise and faithful as they help us use your blessings for good. Establish your peace among the nations and bring to nothing the plots of those who delight in evil, terror, and violence. And to your keeping, Almighty God, we ask you to be with those who are serving the armed forces, most of whom will be unable to be with the families during this Christmas season. God, your love does indeed touch the hearts of many people, and thank you for all those who are able to participate in our Angel Tree Outreach that provides Christmas gifts for children who have a parent in prison. Bless the confirmation classes as they join together along with the Angel Tree Committee for wrapping gifts this afternoon. O healer and comforter, we pray for Patty Fairchild, who recovered from surgery this past Friday. Be with all of our members with prolonged health problems and those who are unable to attend church. In the midst of their trouble, we pray that you would be the rock to which they can always go. In a time of silence, we pray now for others who are near and dear to us and are hurting in one way or another. Hear us, for Jesus' sake. Merciful God, we mourn with the family of Joy Baldwin, who received the Christian burial on Saturday. Grant the family peace of mind, knowing that he is with his Savior in his heavenly home. God of life, we pray your blessings upon Garrett Higley, who will be receiving the Washington Holy Baptism today. Please guide his parents and sponsors as they help to keep Garrett in his baptismal grace throughout his life. Lord of marriage, praise and thanksgiving to you for the wedding anniversaries this week of Mark and Jen Schlater, Norb and Jean Schaefer, Troy and Kathy Thomas, and Don and Don Barth. Enfold them with your everlasting love. Dear loving God, we rejoice with Marianne Wendell, Carol Breedlove, and Bill Anderson, who are celebrating birthdays this week. It is our prayer that you would give Marianne, Carol, and Bill many more years of health and happiness. As we pray for each family of our congregation, Father God, this morning we pray for the Breedlove, the Bresnahan, and the Brush families, that you would keep them in your loving care. Into your hands, Heavenly Father, we commit all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has taught us his prayer, which we pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
And now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you in favor and give you peace.
So for this next song, there might be some kids out there who know some motions to this song. If you do, show the adults how it's done. All right?